Amen. God is good. All the time. I was impressed with the whole thing of us singing about the power of God. And Steve, you were talking about being edifying one another, and that was what our devotional was about. And how important that is. And I think the whole thing of us coming together like this is a blessing. I don't think we can take it for granted. Never should. I'm going to keep pounding on that. But I know that some people are not able to be here. And we welcome you via YouTube. And God bless you. Every one of you for coming. We're going to continue in the book of Colossians today. And Stewards of the Mystery. I've entitled the message that. I don't know. Could have been a couple different titles, but we're going to look at the last couple of verses in Colossians chapter 1. And I don't have a lot of slides this morning, but I do have one of the things that was mentioned to us as pastors that maybe we should have, if we have a different version, maybe we should put it up there so you guys can follow along. And so I thought the ESV just felt it read a little better, and I'm not here to discuss versions or whatever, but it's, so I want you to follow along. And there's some interesting, and this morning in our Sunday school we talked about the fact that we can read things in the Bible and just kind of go over things and never really catch certain phrases or something that, and there's a certain phrase in here that really caught my attention that I want to talk about a little bit in verse 24. I'll go ahead and read this. Now I rejoice, and I think in verse 23, Paul had mentioned that I am a minister, and this morning, this is not just for an ordained minister. It is for everyone who is a Christian. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your position is in the church or whatever, but I think it's important for us to realize that. And even in what Jerry said this morning, it's like all of us are called to be encouragers. Sorry, that was... Okay, let's look at 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. I don't know if you caught the phrase in verse 24 that maybe makes you scratch your head a little. Anything pop out? In my flesh, filling up what is lacking. Is the afflictions of God lacking? How is it lacking? I mean, I'm thinking, when I first, it kind of caught me. It's like, Paul, are you trying to add something here? And as I studied it, and if we go back, just the whole thing of rejoicing in my sufferings. How many people rejoice in the sufferings? And I realize that this suffering is not not something that he was doing as a, oh, there are people who do sufferings to promote their own, how would you say, their own spirituality. There's a term for that. And ascetics, yeah. Where, and this is not what this is, but this is something that Paul experienced because of the opposition that he got from his teaching the truth and teaching something that was very much different from what the Jews had learned, and especially even if you think about the whole thing of the Gentiles having a part as well. We'll get into that as well. To fill up my flesh and to fill in my flesh, I am filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. I came across a quote from John Piper. And I think this explains a little bit what he's referring to here. Paul's sufferings complete Christ's afflictions, not by adding anything to their worth, but by extending them to the people they were meant to save. What is lacking in the afflictions of Christ is not that they are deficient in worth, as though they could not sufficiently cover the sins of all who believe. What is lacking is that the infinite value of Christ's affliction is not known and trusted in the world. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but when Jesus left, he said, "It is good that I go." Why? Why was it good that he would go? I mean, if you were a disciple, it's like, that's not the right answer. But he said, "I will send to you a comforter." And so the Holy Spirit was introduced, we know, at the day of Pentecost. What is lacking in the afflictions of Christ? And I think in this situation, the afflictions is not necessarily referring to his sufferings on the cross, but maybe more the afflictions that he experienced in his teaching. The world hated him, right? They did not like his teachings. And the world will hate the truth today as well. And I think maybe more now in this day and age, truth is being, how would you say, refuted openly. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. And we shouldn't be surprised. So what is lacking in I think in this situation is that Jesus is not here in person anymore. He cannot personally, physically walk around and be here at Woodlawn this morning. But he is here, right? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. But if the Christians, how would you say, if we as Christians would be absent from the world, maybe even from this community, if the Christians were absent from this community and were not promoting the gospel message, what would happen? I think there would be a huge moral decay. The world is decaying morally the way it is, but I trust that the light from us, even as we were singing, "Shine, Jesus, shine." There's a power in the gospel that is more powerful than anything on this earth. And it changes lives. We had a testimony in our Sunday school of a young man who recently gave his heart to Christ. And I don't know why this truck's up here, but let's do a little commercial. All of us, well, especially men, we like power. I'm not sure what kind of truck it is, but it can be your favorite truck. I don't even know whose truck it is, but it was sitting here, so I think we need to have a commercial. But if you think about truck commercials, they are talking about what's under the hood. And it's not going to be a little four-cylinder, unless it's some supercharged thing that's... But we're talking about the power. Our life is nothing without the power under the hood, as it were. The thing that drives us. As we think of stewardship, something that's been given to us, and Paul says it in verse 25, that this whole idea of lacking in Christ's afflictions, there's another verse in Philippians 2, verse 30, that's kind of similar, where it talks about, is it I have to look at it. It's a funny name. I don't think there's anybody named that here. Epaphroditus. I don't think there's an Epaphroditus here. But we could all be Epaphrodituses. In verse 30, it talks about, Paul was talking about Epaphroditus filling in for him because he couldn't be there because he was in prison. And in verse 20 in Philippians chapter 25 in chapter 7, it is necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, he that ministered to my wants. And then in verse 30, it just says this, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And the whole thing of that is, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. I want us to get that. We have been given the stewardship of being messengers for God, just as Paul was to be the messenger for the church at Colossae. And it's so important for us to get it right, in that we realize who ordained us. In the world we live in, we talk about this a lot, is there's a lot of opinions. And sometimes we switch the word opinions with my convictions. And I have to promote my own convictions, right? I mean, you have to know what the right way, because I want to help you. But it's so easy to let me try to have the power myself. Does that make sense? Like, I want to be right, because I want to win the Nobel Peace Prize, right? No, but what is the end game of my drive in life? What is the end game? What am I trying to achieve? Paul was a minister according to the stewardship from God, and he says that was given to me to make. Can I go back here? Oh, here we go. Just go to the scripture thing there again. Okay. That was given to me to make the word of God fully known. That's a challenge, isn't it? There's a lot of interpretations of scripture that are false in this day and age. And I think one of the main reasons that Paul was sharing this at the end of chapter 1 is that there was an influx of false teachers. Most of the church at Colossae were Gentile people, I believe. How many of you have ever doubted the fact that you were a Christian? You can raise your hand, but I think we all probably have, haven't we? And if these Gentiles were I don't know if somebody came in and had a topic at their church one night and said, you know, you need to follow the Jewish laws or whatever. I don't know, but I mean, let's just be sure that even back then there were a lot of false teachers that were trying to promote their own gospel. And Jesus warned about this. So, to make the Word of God fully known, I think that should be a goal of us as pastors. How do you make the Word of God fully known? It's not something I can do with my own power. It's something that has to happen by the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit in my life and in each one of our lives. How does someone all of a sudden see the light that had rejected the light, and all of a sudden this is made clear to him? The power of the gospel, it's amazing, and it should cause us to be excited, especially when people are added to the kingdom. And that should be our goal. And one of the things that Jerry said, mentioned in his devotional, is that he's been dealing with things difficult. In ministry, there's always challenges. We don't always feel motivated. We sometimes lose the energy, the zeal to keep going. And here's Paul, as far as I know, he's probably in prison at this time. And he's writing to these people. Wouldn't you be sitting in there and saying, I wonder when Gospel Echoes is going to bring their Christmas cookies? But he wasn't. He said, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Being a Christian in America is probably one of the most difficult places to be a Christian. Did I just say that out loud? Because I think we live in a place where there's so much prosperity gospel. If I'm a Christian, everything should be okay. I shouldn't have any health problems. I should have a new car, maybe even. There's a lot of people who sign up for Christianity for the benefits. And I think it's important for us to always reflect back to the original disciples didn't build a lot of estates. I don't know if any of them did. But they worked for the one cause that we are benefiting from, the truth of the gospel. And as I think of myself, my life, am I a person who is making the Word of God fully known? Am I filling in for the afflictions that are lacking because Christ is no longer here in person? And if you have some other ideas about that, I'd be open for that. But I think that's exactly what Jerry was sharing about, that we need each other. Even as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need each other. We are the hands and feet. Verse 25 says, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. And the Old Testament is pretty, I mean, we talked about, I think it was last Sunday, about Isaiah 53, that was, he was wounded for our transgressions. I would say open. But yet, the people didn't understand the mystery of the Messiah. The mystery is Jesus Christ. We are stewards of the mystery, and we are the messengers, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Verse 27 says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, in all of you, Christ in you. Let's not forget, if you're a Christian, Christ is in you. And you are Christ, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I know that could be a message just on that. So James, if you want to, or whoever's next. I'm sure there's a message even just in that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What all is that? What do you base your this past week on Wednesday I was in Chicago, and the lady that was, I delivered a table up there, and table and chairs in it. And we were talking, and she said, I heard that you are a pastor. And she kind of asked about some of those things. And we didn't talk a long time, but she says that she's a Christian Science. And I don't know all the details about that. But I said, you know what? The main thing is that Jesus Christ is the only way. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. And He is our only hope to be restored, to have that relationship with God restored to its original state. That is the mystery. We are stewards of that mystery. And then in verse 28, it just says, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. How does that work? And how do we warn? The thing that's, like I said before, all of us have opinions and convictions. And I think one of the things that I need to learn is, how do I warn someone without throwing them under the bus, as it were? How do you warn someone in a loving way, knowing that, you know what? I want for you what I have. And does what I have appeal to you? And I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel, but I'm talking about the peace and the hope that we can have in our hearts. That's the way, isn't it? How does our life display that kind of a thing? Him we proclaim. And I don't know who all Paul was referring to in the we there, but it could be Timothy in this case it was Epaphras. Was it with him? Timothy and Epaphras. And so, warning everyone and teaching them with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Sometimes it's difficult to warn people of danger, because we may appear bossy. But maybe we need to be a little more firm with people, instead of just do people get the idea that we accept them? We need to accept people in some ways the way they are, but on the other hand, it's like, okay, so you're not a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you're going to go to hell. Do we really believe that? And if we do, are we going to warn someone? I'm talking to myself. It's like, it's so much easier to just, you know what, I just want to be your friend. But I think Jesus said some hard things when he was here on the earth. And he said it to a lot of religious people. But sometimes maybe we need to say hard things to people, and with love. Don't forget that part. And I think that's the thing that I need to work on is to do something like that in the spirit of love. And the constant working. Paul says this in verse 29, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." That is the key to this whole thing. We could have probably started, should have probably started in a verse, in the last verse. That is where it's at. This struggling with all his energy. Sometimes we beat against, we work ourselves in a tizzy and don't allow the power to come from what's really driving us or should be driving us, whether it's a diesel or a gas, but it's like the driving power of God is what needs to be a part of our, needs to be the central focus of our Christian life. And if it's not, we need to realign, we need to refocus. That's where it's at. I'd like to just look at a couple, or at least I'm going to look at one story of a young man who went to a village, and he walked, he was barefooted. I can find it. I'll say it by memory. That's better anyway, right? Anyway, he walked into a village, and in the process, they didn't accept his message. And because of the rejection, he went to the edge of the village and lay down and fell asleep. And when he woke up, there was a group of people around him looking at him, and they said that we came to see what your feet looked like. And they said that when they saw his blistered feet, they concluded that he must be a holy man and that they had been evil to reject him. They were sorry and wanted to hear the message that he was willing to suffer so much to bring them. That person filled up the afflictions of Jesus with his beautiful blistered feet. Not everyone who hears the message thinks it's a beautiful message. There's a verse that says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news," something like that. But if you think about this, in your life, my brother showed me a song just yesterday. In your life, there have been probably grandparents, maybe even great-grandparents, maybe even great-great-grandparents who prayed for their children. And the song just mentions the whole thing of us. That is one way that you and I can fill in when we continue to pray from one generation to the next, passing on the faith of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What has been handed us to us, the stewardship of the gospel. And as I think of Paul sharing this with the church at Colossae, I don't know what their thoughts were coming from a man who is in prison. But just his acknowledgement that the power that he has must come from God, must come from the energy is not his own. We can't drum up our own salvation. It must come from the Holy Spirit. It must come from God. And that is what, that's what I trust is going to keep us on the right path. And even to share that with others, those who are around about us, those who we face, those who we come in contact with. Romans 16, 25 to 27 says this. As stewards, we are called to be faithful, right? In Romans 16, it says this, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. I think let's just pause for a word of prayer. God, I thank you for the power of your gospel that is the most powerful thing here on this earth. And thank you so much for the work of the gospel. For first of all, for what it has done in my own life, in our own personal lives. And even as we help us to just get a grip of the fact of how important it is for us to then share that gospel with others. And knowing that we may be ridiculed, we may be caused for suffering. And yet here in America, we haven't had a lot of suffering. Help us, Lord, to focus on the truth and on realizing that it is you who gives us strength, who gives us the ability to even comprehend your word, to comprehend living for you. And I pray that you would help us in our living for you, God, our daily living, that we would be zeroed in on the end game, knowing what you want for us. First of all, eternal life. And that we would give you honor and glory for everything that we are able to do here on this earth. Help us to be true. Help us to be faithful. We commit this day to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.